Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in today to the Ron Paul Liberty Report. Today is the day that we do the program called Mythbusters, and the co-host is Chris Rossini. And today, I believe we're going to talk a little bit about the trade issue, which is seems to be always in the news in this time of economic peril. Chris, welcome to the program today.
Good morning, Dr. Paul. It's great to be with you. And yes, we're going to talk about the lifeblood of peaceful civilization, and that's trade. And so let's start at the basics, the very basics. There's two primary ways that a person can get what they want in this world. One is the peaceful way, which is trade, voluntary trade with others, and the other is the violent way, which is politics and government force to get what you want. Now, we're always advocating as libertarians the peaceful way, yet there's a lot of pushback for violence. So, Dr. Paul, please delve into this very simple concept that has been buried under thousands of pages of regulations.
Yes, and both forms have been around for a long time because they contest each other. It's natural to have free and voluntary trade because people own property. They're supposed to own the fruits of their labor, and they're supposed to use money in order to call up transactions. But there's also those people who would like to use force. They could use force as individuals, but most likely most of the damage has been done by special interests, groups who will use the government to use the force and to control the trade. So this is a problem that has existed for a very long time. I mean, we have different varieties of it. I see that sometimes we have free trade. Sometimes they call it fair trade. Some call it socialism. Some call it managed trade. And sometimes we have no trade when it gets out of hand. And I think that we've had experience with that all along. But most of the problem comes from the issue of a moral principle, because individuals should have a right to their life. And there's a lot of talk of right to my life and my right to my liberty, and it's in the Constitution. But they don't emphasize, or do they follow through in many societies, that you have a right to the fruits of your labor. Your efforts, what you produce, should be part of you, and it's yours, and you should be able to do with it what you want. But the assumption now in this country is that it belongs to the government. And therefore, they have a right to regulate. They have a right to tell you how much you have. And if you want to buy cheap products from overseas, no, you don't have the moral right to do that, because it might look like you're hurting somebody. But it might be a tremendous benefit, because there's information from that. Why wouldn't people like to buy at home? I think most people do. But sometimes there's a better deal. And this provides the incentive for people to do a better job. But the principle of whether it's voluntary or whether it's use of force is the basic principle of it. Libertarians believe in anything peaceful, and that if you don't use aggression, it should be permissible. And on the long run, it really works out. But the big problem with it is when you have a messy trading system like we have today, when you try to correct it and return to a freer market, then there's always going to be a victim. Who's going to be hurt? Which industry is privileged and has been protected? And therefore, we have to protect that industry. And that's when the people start saying, or then again, it's protecting workers. You know, the government was never designed to protect the working class, nor designed to protect the business class. They were there. It was designed to protect liberty and freedom of choice. And that means that the individuals protected by free trade and free markets are the ones who are our customers, people who buy things, who want to trade their productive efforts for something that somebody else produced. And the customer, the consumer becomes king in a free society, not the labor unions and not big corporations. But today we have the use of force in so many areas, in trade and through the financial industries and through the Federal Reserve. They're always providing a privilege for a certain group. But if we stick to the principle of no aggression, everything voluntary, as long as it's done ethically and honestly without force or fraud, it should be permissible. And there have been examples in history where we've had a freer system than at other times. And one thing is, if people were honest with themselves and they looked at it, the freer society, they will find that it's been more productive. That is when you have the largest middle class. Since it's never been perfect, you can't say, well, it's going to be perfect if you do it. The one thing you can depend on, though, the more interference with the right of the people to buy and sell what they want and have free and open trade, the poorer the system becomes and the more endangered the middle class becomes. And that's where we are today, and that's why we should be spending a lot more time on describing and discussing, trade and trade agreements than we've heard in the past year in the presidential election.
Yes. Dr. Paul, it's all too common in humanity for people not to mind their own business, and it's very hard to do so. I mean, it's a lifelong job for us to focus on ourselves and try to improve ourselves, but many people don't want to do that. They want to go out and be do-gooders and help others, and of course they want to use force. Such people are drawn like magnets to government. And instead of letting people make their own contracts and make their own deals that both sides are okay with, these people want to stick their nose into it and mess with the terms of the deal. And in doing so, they call it fair trade, which is a very sneaky term. So please discuss this idea of fair trade.
Yeah, it's sort of like all dictators are for peace and freedom. Yes, this whole thing about fair trade, it's a trick of language and the destruction of language, and all authoritarian governments do this. So fair, who's not for fair government? I think what I just talked about a few minutes ago is fair. It's fair to the consumer. It's fair that we don't give any benefits to anybody. So that sounds pretty fair. For us, free trade really is fair trade. But those who advocate and promote fair trade, they're not necessarily for free trade. And there's a lot of libertarians that get a little bit confused on this, because what they hear about are the trade groups, the trade laws, the NAFTAs and the CAFTAs and the WTO and these proposed trade management companies. They say, oh, well, this will sort out the fairness, and we're for that. And the stated purpose for these trade organizations and trade governments is what they are, is to have lower tariffs. And they do. They pretend they make an effort, and sometimes some tariffs may be lowered. But many times, these organizations, whether it's NAFTA or the WTO, business people go there to get protection. They say, somebody did this, and this is unfair, so I want the right to retaliate. And that's what it is. It's a method of managed trade. It's retaliation. It has nothing to do with the truth and principle of fairness. And people would, so often say, oh, yes, this is important that we have fair trade and managed trade. So they want to give more power to the president. They want to give more power to the international organizations, and they want to take it away from the people who are supposed to have a voice in this in the Congress. So the Congress is out of the picture. The Constitution says the Congress is to deal with foreign trade. And they could, alter trade tariffs and other things, but it was the Congress that was supposed to be responsible. But on these trade agreements, whether it's NAFTA or WTO, the people always give fast track, give all the authority to the president. He devises and negotiates trades with many, many different countries, and then the Congress is not even allowed to amend what they do. So this is a bad system. The basic flaw there is they don't have a full understanding or determination to have free trade, and they rationalize and say that, we need to do it faster. Congress is too slow. We'll give more power to the president, and then that way the big corporations don't have to deal with 435 members of Congress. They can deal just with the executive branch of government. If they get their special people in place, whether it's in Treasury or the Federal Reserve or whatever, they can manipulate things to the benefit of certain companies. And for the most part, The big corporations want this. The smaller companies that actually produce and create more jobs than the big companies, they aren't gung-ho over this trade protectionism called fair trade. But the real myth here is that fair trade has something to do with free trade and lowering of tariff barriers. Because so often these people who say, I'm a free trader, I believe in this fair trade, free trading stuff, but I'm the free trader. But they're the first ones to put on sanctions and punish people. Here recently, one thing that Obama did that I personally thought was good and other libertarians agree to a large degree, and that is opening up trade with Cuba and having a better relationship with Iran. And it's worked well. But just yesterday, even, the Republican Congress, the Republican House, amended a bill to make sure that Boeing could not sell commercial airlines to Iran. And the only complicating factor there is free trade would mean that they could sell commercial airlines to Iran under these conditions. But the only thing that they should do along with that is take away the benefit to Boeing. No overseas private investment corporation guarantees, no export-import guarantees, because once again, that is managed trade. You want free trade, but they should benefit from selling their products and making a profit and doing things honestly, but they should not have the advantages of the taxpayers guaranteeing what they're doing. So under these conditions, it's still messy unless you get rid of the guarantees and the protections that exist today under this sort of fair trade notion. So there aren't a whole lot of people, you know, advocating true free markets and free trade. Libertarians should be, and most of them do.
Yeah, so I'd like to echo a little bit of what you said. These government-managed trade deals, they trick the public into thinking that they're free trade because they have the words free trade in them. So when they fall apart, as they must, Americans blame free trade, even though there is no free trade. These deals are over 1,000 pages long, and they're filled with cronyism and environmental regulations and production quotas. This has nothing to do with free trade. Free trade could be on one single document. Just remove all the barriers and you have free trade, which goes back to how you explained it at the beginning of the show. So it's very tricky, and actual free trade, that concept that we discussed at the beginning, is gone. It's not even a part of the conversation anymore. So Dr. Paul, to finish up, with us being in this situation, buried in a lot of government trickery, what's the way out of this? How should people, what targets should they look at to, this is where we want to go from here?
Well, the first thing we have to do is sort out the language, which we were trying to do here, or what free trade really is, and the trick that the people who promote fair trade, what they're up to, and also what socialism does, because that is a rejection of freedom and free choices, and that managed trade, of course, is managed by the total special interest. And those individuals who believe in that process, they believe in punishing people. And this is why those so-called free traders are the ones who always want to put on sanctions to punish people. And then the people who play the game, like I mentioned, there are benefits from some of this trade stuff because they get taxpayers' protection, you know, through Ex-Im Bank as well as the Overseas Private Investment Corporation. And this is what has to stop. What we'd have to do if you believe in free trade, it's quite a bit different than the understanding of free trade. It does annoy me, though, when I see libertarian groups saying, well, yes, but it's designed to lower tariffs. But it doesn't always work that way. Besides, you know, if you have people say, well, it's unfair when you have free trade and it hurts our workers and it hurts our corporations. And if they're not doing a good job, or the government's preventing them from doing a good job by too much taxes and too much regulation, it should serve as an incentive for that particular government, if it's our government, to lower the taxes and lower the regulations, and it should be that incentive. Or what if our products aren't as good? I remember in the 70s, I believe, I'm not too much on automobiles, but I do know that American cars at one time weren't very good, and they started liking Japanese cars, and everybody wanted protection, protection, protection. But really what we needed was the American customer to buy foreign and say, look, we want a good car. And they're not doing this to punish America. They're doing this in their own self-interest to buy the best vehicle for the best amount of money. And this should be an incentive to the governments to improve things, and also an incentive for the businessman to do a better job. So our goal should be to strive for the free market. The one other thing that is involved here, and we haven't yet touched on this, but we have to deal with it if we're looking for a better system, and that has to do with the balance of payments and the currencies. When we as a country get to issue the reserve currency of the world, we have the advantage of people taking this stuff, taking this paper money and sending us products. So this is a tremendous incentive for our jobs to go overseas, because in a way we're getting it for free. We print money, buy their stuff, they take the money, and they loan it back to us. The balance of payments, well, the balance of trade really isn't as important as some people think, because if you're in a free market, the balance of trade will work its way out. We don't measure the balance of trade between Texas and New York because nobody really cares. It has to be sorted out. Balance of payments under today's circumstances is important, because our balance of payments are horrible. Our trade is out of whack. But it's a consequence of us being able to issue the reserve currency of the world, and this encourages these imbalances. But the currency manipulation also enters into this, because people use tariffs, and we're moving into the age of tariffs. I'm worried about what's going to happen to the economy, because people are starting to talk more about tariffs. But tariffs are there to protect a particular interest. Instead of correcting the problem, we'll protect the weak industries. But what else do they do? Well, it's known, because it is, on the short run, a fact that if you weaken your currency, guess what? People want to buy your stuff. They're getting more dollars for it. But it's only short term, because eventually if they buy more and more stuff, the prices go up and there's an adjustment. Right now they're talking about, the dollar has been stronger than some of the other currencies, and it's weakened our trade. And this is the indication that if you really, really want to have free and prosperous trade and true globalism, not the globalism of these government agencies, of government and the UNWTO. What you have to have is a currency that comes from the marketplace. When we were under the gold standard, there was much fairer free trade than otherwise. But then the balances have to come about. You have to balance it. When you run out of gold, you have to quit buying. You have to clean up your act. You have to become more competitive. But as long as it can be propped up. But we're now living in an age of not only moving toward more tariffs, but we've been living in the age of competitive devaluations. The weaker the currencies, the more it's going to help. And that's almost a religion, but it never works. If it would have worked, it would have solved a lot of our problems. It just sort of tides things over. It's sort of like when you run into a severe recession like we are still in, and you spend more money and print more money, yeah, it might keep the stock market up. It might not have the total collapse of the economy, and we doctor it up. That's what they do when they manipulate the currencies and try to get a weaker currency. But there's nothing in common sense that tells you that if you're an individual, you're working hard, you're saving your money, you put your money in the bank, the government deliberately weakens the economy so you don't have any interest rates, and they deliberately have a monetary policy that says that the money should be devalued on purpose. There's never been a time where they deliberately said that is our policy. So why would you want a weak currency? Why would you want the government to devalue your currency? And this, of course, is the reason people would go to gold, because gold is a free market money, and they can't devalue gold. They can't print gold, and the preservation of wealth is much better served than by resorting to buying treasury bills and holding Federal Reserve's note. It doesn't work. So the free market obviously is much more beneficial to the people. It's ignorance. It's the change of language. It's the protection of special interests. It's the Federal Reserve System. It's much more complicated because people don't understand it. They don't rock the boat because you might make it worse. Well, rocking the boat and moving toward liberty and free markets and sound money should never be a detriment. It should be a benefit to all citizens concerned. Chris, I want to thank you very much today for joining in today with our Mythbusters program.
Always a pleasure, Dr. Paul. Thank you.
Very good. And I want to thank all our viewers today for tuning in to the Ron Paul Liberty Report. And please come back soon.